Blog Talk Radio.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier. It's good to be with you tonight on this live radio broadcast. It is October 31st, 2013. I suspect that tonight we are going to have some pretty amazing times on the air together, and I'm looking forward to everything that the Lord has prepared and everything that He is about to unveil in the next 2 hours. And I'm going to be spending the first hour talking about several things that I have been studying at a very deep level, as far as I'm concerned, as deep as I know how to go anyways, in the book of Revelation. And I want to bring up some ideas and thoughts and concepts about things that you may already be aware about or aware of. And I want to even go a little bit deeper than that tonight. And hopefully at some point this evening we're going to begin our series in the book of Ezekiel. And I think it's very apropos that we do that tonight. I wanted to do it a couple of days ago and just didn't get around to doing that. So tonight we're hoping to get into the book of Ezekiel and begin the study. We're going to talk about the seven heads and the ten horns, and we're going to talk about something very interesting that if you have heard it before and you hear it again, I think it's going to refresh the memory. But before I get on into anything, I want to just bring a greetings to everybody out there who is tuning in tonight. We're becoming aware that there are some new friends of New Wine Ministries that are tuning into this Blog Talk radio broadcast, and I personally want to welcome you to the radio broadcast. We have been doing this on radio now since 2000, and it's been a long journey. We've done some radio in AM stations in California, down in La Jolla on KPRZ. Then we did radio at KBRT in Los Angeles, California with Paul McGuire and Rich Agazzino, which was a lot of fun. And we've been doing Blog Talk Radio since 2008. September 2008 is when I began internet radio, and so we've been here for just a little over 5 years on Blog Talk Radio, and it has been an amazing journey. And as always, it feels like we're just beginning, like we've scratched the proverbial surface, and yet we are looking at some very interesting moments within our nation. And the real purpose for being on radio is to look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and to declare what we see. And there are things going on in the world today on planet Earth that when viewed through the biblical lens or through the scriptures, there is a tremendous amount of truth that needs to be revealed and spoken about, and our job is to be studying and seeking beyond just the mere surface of things. We've got to get deeper in our understanding when we see things in the world and then measure them and understand them according to the scriptures, and that's why we do what we do. Now, recently, in the last several months, I've just completed a series in the book of Jeremiah. And all of those teachings can be found on our archives from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end. And then we just finished a series on the book of Lamentations, and now being very much led into the book of Ezekiel, where we will go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, until we reach the end. And what we're going to do with Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel is apply the data and the revelation that is revealed in these prophetic books with the book of Revelation. I don't believe this is a time to depart from the book of Revelation. There's something deep and spiritual and mysterious there that I believe Father God is wanting us to uncover and to unveil and to explore the depths of that prophetic end time book known as the book of Revelation. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And also tonight, Lord willing, Brother Don Huddle is going to join me on the air, and we're going to share. You know, he has prophesied since July 30th about this month of October, and Don had spoken some pretty intense things, which I perfectly agree with the things that were being spoken. In fact, when we get a chance to talk a little bit more about it, I believe when I go back to October of 2009, I remember it was actually July of 2009, when I was in prayer about things ready to take place in the country, that what I heard in my spirit was that, no, September would be a passing month, no events. Something would take place in October, and then the release would come in November. And when you look at this October and you think of all the things that happened from the government shutting down, we've seen, you know, some pretty amazing things happen and have lined up almost, you know, at war, World War III. And I want to talk about a lot of these things, but I want to spend that time with Don personally on the air when he gets a chance to call in here. But I guess what I'd really like to do in the beginning of this broadcast tonight is share out of what I've been studying most of the day. And I'm telling you, I've been in this for hours today, and I feel like I've only found a little gold dust, you know, but I know this gets deep. And maybe together we can get into even a greater depth. But let's recall a verse of Scripture where God speaks and he says that he reveals the end of a matter from the beginning. And that is paraphrased. And I think most of the Bible students out there tonight would recall that Scripture immediately. And if I need to, I'll go and find it myself here. And I should have done that before coming on the air. But it was in my spirit all day that God reveals the end from the beginning. And so if you want to know the end of a matter or what is going to show up at the end of time or things that are revealed at the end, well, you can go back to the beginning. For example, if you read the very last chapter of the Bible, it's Revelation chapter 22. And what do we find in Revelation chapter 22? We find a river of life. We find a tree. We find a paradise, the garden of God Almighty. The very last chapter of the Bible, the tree of life in the river. And that's the very end. And so if you want to find a tree of life and a river and you want to find the Garden of Eden, so to speak, well, where do you go? You go to the beginning. And Genesis chapter 2 is all about the Garden of Eden. And so God, his rule stands true that he reveals the end from the beginning. So if we want to know, for example, and this is my deep desire, I desire to know about a world empire at the end of time that is going to be different from every other empire that we have known, and I want to know about this end time empire. Well, if the rule stands, then I should be able to go to the beginning, find something about an empire that will be relevant to the empire that I'm seeking to understand at the end. So in other words, the Bible reveals an end-time empire, particularly in the book of Revelation, known as the one-world government or the global beast system of government. And somehow this end-time government that's going to be making havoc of things for 3.5 years particularly against believers in Revelation 13, is there any evidence of this empire, or can we understand this end time empire by looking at the beginning? Well, I believe we can. And for most of you, I'd like to take the time to go back there to Genesis chapter 10, because this is where we really find the beginning of empire building, if you will. And let's see if there are any connections that we can make at the beginning that will bring revelation to the end time global beast government or global beast system. I believe absolutely that there are, but we need to read a little bit. And I could just make points, but I'm not so sure that points are the best way to go. So We'll get into that, but before I do, I see the line is open here, and I believe Brother Don Huddle is on the air right now. Let me go back and see if that is him. Hello, Brother Don, are you there? Welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Glad to hear you again.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice again. And how are you doing this evening?
Fine. Am I coming in clear?
Yeah, I've got you loud and clear, Don, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm sure that there are several people that are listening in tonight that have been tracking with us since July 30th that are wanting to understand some things. Here we are, October 31st, and as of yet, the nation seems to still be intact, at least for the moment. And so if you would like to, would you like to address you know, some things that maybe are being revealed to you, or some of the things that are happening around and about?
Well, everything that will lead to the destruction of the country and possibly even to the world right now are in effect. Since this month has been a month in which all these events were set up. I mean, besides the government shutdown, there's a lot of things that transpired that isn't even in the American media, in the press controlled by the U.S. government. Surprise, surprise. One is we got nuked off the coast of California, all up and down there from Fukushima. We had a that debris has been traveling across the country, and it's now just started hitting us a few weeks ago up and down the coast of California. And Canada, especially Canada, is reporting that their fisheries, their salmon, their fish are bleeding out of the eyes, bleeding out of the gills. They're receiving a huge amount of radiation from Fukushima, where it's traveled across the ocean. And if you look at the radiation maps for the United States, you also see the entire coast along California coastline is lit up. And I read some accounts of how the beaches are basically devoid of wildlife, where they were at one point just full of sea life and seabirds, and now that it's very few seabirds and very little of life on the coast of California now due to this radiation. You have that, and also the decision was made this month, last week, I believe, perhaps, no, I'm sorry, 2 or 3 weeks before, that the removal of the fuel rods, the 1,300 fuel rods that are going to be removed from Reactor 4, that's 100 feet in the air, that's going to commence not next year, but on November 8th, which many scientists are referring to as a suicide played by TEPCO. They have no choice because the building is falling down. This earthquake that just struck last week, there's not much information coming out of Fukushima right now. There's even some debate if the live feeds that you could observe on the internet are actually real. And when they begin this process of removing these 1,300 fuel rods, they're going to have to remove these fuel rods. They're about 15 feet long, and they're going to have to remove them one at a time with the crane, and then they're going to have to bring them down from 100 feet and place them into some type of a metal casing. And the problem with this is it's never been done before. It's only theoretical. They've erected a crane over the reactor building. It has to go down to all that wreckage, pluck these fuel rods out one at a time, and if one comes up broken, which they don't know the shape of them, or if one touches another, or if anything happens where those rods interact with one another in this broken down, destroyed building, then you're going to see a nuclear explosion the equality of 13,000 Hiroshima bombs going off at the same time. In other words, that would be the end of Japan, and of course the radiation that would encircle the world and the fallout, and the United States would be unimaginable. And that process is getting ready to be taken place next week. So you have, in essence, we actually were nuked this month, but it wasn't suitcase nuclear bombs, but it was nuclear, and it's going to get a lot worse, I'm afraid, if Christians are ever going to pray for the state of the United States and the world. They should pray right now for that operation that's going to occur next week in Japan on the 8th. Because if anything goes wrong, you're actually looking, and the world press states it's an extinction-level event. And, of course, the consequences to the United States would be overwhelmed. Will be overwhelming. That could be why all these resources have been moved into Region 3 that we've talked about. It could have all been about Fukushima. And like I said, there's four reactors. Three of those reactors are in the ground. They actually did do a meltdown. They're in the ground. They don't even know where they're at, and they're headed for the aqua structure of the island. And if it hits that water, besides the consequential explosion, it would ruin all the water supply for Tokyo, and they would have to evacuate immediately. I believe Tokyo has 47 million people in it. So all of this was decided month.
Yeah, there's still a lot going on, and I don't think you even mentioned November 1st when I think food stamps are going to be stopped being issued, like $5 billion in cuts, and some folks are concerned about that. But before we go any further, you've been a very dear friend of mine, and that's all there is to it. You're my brother, and I love you in the Lord, and that's all there is to that as well. But are you a little bit surprised, or what is your thought, when you come on the air? And I know, and I have to say, because I know people are listening, I've been there, and I've had to go through some of this myself. But when you mention the fact that, you know, this October America would not be the same, you mentioned the things that you did, and they didn't happen exactly the way that you thought. Are you a little surprised about that, or are you? What are you feeling at this point, as far as how? You relayed the information, and now here we are. What are your thoughts about that? Because I know people are thinking that, and it's just, you know, we spoke that the Lord showed us something, and what happened? That it's not that way. What are your thoughts?
Well, I believe that naturally, what you see in the spirit, you see through a glass darkly. The events for destruction are definitely there. The decisions for it, the instability for it, the chaos for it, basically was set all up in October. And if it occurs the second week of November or the first week of November, or I'm down the line just a few I'm not concerned about that, because everything that I thought the Lord was telling me, in other words, you were given, it's basically all cocked and ready to go, and by all indications, it's going to go, you know, besides the food riots and things like that. I know you have a martial law scenario building. That's not building for nothing. People know that. I know in our area here, these MRAP vehicles, these armored vehicles, they've started to be moved into the area. People are spotting them now. And I even called, I had a guy call me today, and he said that Route 421 in Michigan City, Indiana, and this guy's an armored vehicle buff, he said he observed a Russian personnel carrier going down the road, painted gray. Russian vehicles are starting to appear. So I don't have any. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Don, did you know that, speaking about Russian vehicles, that Israel bombed a facility in Syria today, just a few hours ago, that had Russian weapons? This was just a blip real quick on Fox News, and a friend of mine called up and said, you better get hold of that because it's not going to be there long. But Israel bombed a facility in Syria today that was housing weapons from Russia. Were you aware of this?
Yeah, I'm aware of that, and it's my understanding that Obama is against Israel now. So I think there's a little treachery going on here between Obama and Israel right now, and obviously if Israel bombed and started to hurt Russian interest, then you're going to see Mr. Putin do what he said he's going to do. And then you have also the scenario of China and Russia announced 2 weeks ago that they're going to stop using the American dollar as reserve currency of the world. And considering how China has been so prolific in purchasing gold the last couple of years, now they've developed their own currency called the yuan. At any time, you're going to see China overnight dump their U.S. treasuries on the world market and sell them at a loss. And when that happens, you're going to see the dollar devaluate to nothing. And that could happen at any time. And once again, all that was set up in October. All this came out in October.
Yeah, there's no doubt it was a big setup. And I go back 4 years ago, and I hear these words, you know, October, and then a release in November. And I remember in November of 2009, that's when the Fort Hood shooting took place, and I can't imagine what it would be today. But right now I've got someone, Don, I don't know who it is, but I'm going to take the call. They've been wanting to call in a couple of times here, and let's see what's going on in area code 916. Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, how are you doing this night?
I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I was just listening to your radio station there and understanding, there's a lot of things the president doesn't want anybody to know, and that's just the way that the United States is letting it happen right now. California is seeing a lot of changes, and it's hurting California, but nobody is stepping up to the plate to do anything about it.
Okay.
And the way people are going right now, nobody wants to stand up towards the president and say, hey, you know, you're doing something wrong. You're not trying to help out your people. You're doing basically what you want to do, and that's just the way it's going to be. And when you have Syria and Russia fighting against each other and nobody's looking at it, we're going to have an issue.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I think you're right on track. I think you're right on track, and some of the things we're going to get into tonight may answer some of the reasons why, you know, that's happening. And the things that Brother Don is talking about and yourself, are you in California right now?
Oh, yes, I am, yes.
And what do you think about the radiation push? Are you guys hearing anything about the radiation that's coming your way?
Oh, we hear it all the time. I don't fish. I personally don't fish. I don't hunt. But I do have friends that talk about fishing and hunting up in the hills. And you're talking about spring water, thinking that everything's fine. The fishing has gone drop down to nothing. I used to fish down the Gulf and down through Sacramento. And all your catfish, everything else are ruined. You're getting discoloring. You're getting spots. You're getting fish that may not, you know, their eyes are all discolored. You're not going to want it. And you're seeing more and more. I've been hearing this in the last year or so now, that people down towards San Francisco, I used to shark fish down there 2 years ago. It used to be great. Now, 2 years from there, you're hearing that even shark fishing is getting worse. They don't want to keep the sharks because they're getting all discolored, and they'll have little sacks on them. They don't know if it's, you know, cancer or what it is. And the radiation probably has something to do with all this.
Absolutely. And, Brother Don, you had brought up, I think, 2 weeks ago that the oar fish that are showing up, the 18-footer, the 10-foot oar fish, and then the 30,000-pound saber-tooth whale on the beaches of Southern California, that they, too, were showing up in Japan right before a massive earthquake. Is that right?
Yeah, they were showing up a few days before the Chile and the Japanese earthquake. And, those two especially. And the Japanese, when they see that fish, they become frightened. They've always considered it a harbinger of a very severe earthquake because that fish is so deep. It's at 1,000 feet. And it never comes. I think the highest it's ever will ever come up is 200 feet. So they're not catching them or have anything to do with them. And when they do surface, they know that something's forcing that fish up from the depths. And usually what follows is a severe earthquake. Japan's learned that through the ages.
Yeah, and that would not be surprising right now, the way the earth has been shaking. And also, you know, talk about earthquakes, there's also that, not only the political shake, but the economic earthquake that seems to be rumbling right now. I think it was Lindsay Williams that just came out and mentioned the fact that by November 17th, everybody should have their money basically out of the banks because something about Chase Bank is no longer allowing wire transfers out of the United States, and people that have money in that Chase Bank are not allowed to take more than $50,000 out, something of that that is causing quite a shaking in the economic structure of things. Have you heard about these indicators as well? Either one.
Yeah, that's all true. That's all true. They also loaded up 30% more cash on their ATMs because they know people are going to start running for money. What I think they're going to do personally is I think they're just going to close the door and refer them to the ATMs. And at that point, they can't get any more than $500 a day.
Wow, that's pretty sneaky. We've got another call coming in. Let me take this, area code 678. And you gentlemen are welcome to stay on the air. Area code 916, by the way, what is your name, sir?
My name's Wes.
All right, Wes, well, stay tuned. And area code 678, this looks like Danny. Danny, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor. Hello,
you doing,
Brother Don,
sir?
And my brother Wes in California. Love you, man. Yeah, I've been following the currency market for quite some time, and there's a lot of things that, you know, that need to be said. I knew about this issue, that this administration was going to make it illegal for you to be able to move any money out of this country, period. You want to leave? You can leave, but you cannot take your money with you. I've heard this stuff, and, you know, we're all, what's that?
Go ahead, Dan.
We're all hearing the different things. We're getting different intelligence, and we're seeing different things happening around the world. And, you know, you go back to the book of Jeremiah, history is repeating itself, and nobody's paying attention. You know, very few are. And, you know, you talk about it, and we're seeing it happening right now. And what we're doing is we're taking the intelligence information that we're getting from Brother Don and myself and others out there. Hey, we're gathering it. We're trying to bring it to the people. And, you know, hey, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's just like the currency market. Oh, yeah, it's going to revalue today. It's going to revalue tomorrow. It should have revalued yesterday. We don't know what's exactly going to happen, but we know that it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's a good point, Dan, and it's almost as though it's undeniably how fast everything is falling and coming at us, and so you're picking up a lot of data. We're seeing, as Don, you said, looking through a glass darkly. And in the prophetic realm, I know this, everything is happening right now. I've known that for a long time about prophetic and prophetic people. They see it as it's happening now. And yet we keep coming to these moments of where everything is just bursting in that direction, and then we see this out, you know, this relaxation. But I would say, by the grace of God, that possibly everything that has been built up since July 30th, Don, when you said we would see indicators leading all the way up to these events, I would not be surprised, and I am preparing, quite frankly, and going to remain prepared for the release of everything that has built up since July 30th, even through the month of October, to this very night. And so November to me is a release month, and whatever that release may be, I think people need to stay on guard. And 30 days from now, we may not be talking about whether, you know, the exact timing was right as much as what are people going to do to survive the next moment that's hitting the nation, because it is coming with speed, and I don't think anybody could deny that.
Well, also, let me, you remember, back in August, we saw 747 fly in, okay? And the word that we, remember, we did a little research, and we found out it was not only one 747, but it was 15 747 flying into this little itty-bitty airport in northwest Arkansas. All right, we know that in the Ozarks, there's millions of square feet of underground manufacturing, living space, you know, office space, so on and so forth. What's it all doing underground? Why is there a railroad that stretches from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., to the Ozarks, to Denver, to Los Angeles? It's all underground. They didn't build it out of chance. It's there for a reason. There's a 72,000-square-foot monstrosity of a home with 8-foot-thick walls with bulletproof glass. They say it's nuclear bomb-proof. That ties to these underground caverns. You can drive semis side by side. There's freight lines that can go through there. And just outside these caverns, what's sitting outside? Thousands of green vehicles. You know, it's, you know, the handwriting's on the wall.
I think that's well said about the handwriting on the wall. Don, any comments? Or Wes, any comments at this point?
Well, this is Wes. It's been doing it for years, and they keep trying to cover up, and they keep trying to cover up, and they have their underground presidential, and they have their underground government and everything. If the president was to get blown up, we have an underground surface, and those people are going to take over. And not a lot of people know about it, and not a lot of people want to know about it. They can care less. Mostly people just walk around like rats, and they do what they have to do. They survive, they make their money, and they do that above ground. They don't look at underground. They're not told about anything else except for what they want to see on the newscast that people let you see on TV. All that type of newscast, I watch it here in California, and you sit here and you listen to other people on talk radios, everything else talk, and you try to put everything together in one big ball of wax, and you know the newscast is a bunch of lies half the time. They'll tell you about the weather, they'll tell you about local news, but when it comes down to it, they won't tell you about everything else going around in the world. And
yeah,
so
it's kind
you
of
have to read about it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Wes. I said it's just a little candy-coated, that's all. It's like eating a non-nutritional meal. There's no nutrition in what they're broadcasting.
That's correct. And a lot of people, and going back to Dan, a lot of people don't want to read the Bible, and the Bible tells you what's going on. And you never know when something's going to happen, but all they do is they candy-coat it, and they try to tell you, well, see, this person wasn't true, this person wasn't true. I don't look at dates myself, because dates can mean anything. It can happen today, it can happen tomorrow. So you always have to watch what's going on. As long as you listen to what's going around you and listen to other people and try to put every little piece of information together, you'll get some kind of conclusion to your life of what needs to be gone. You don't have to be scared to death. You don't have to live on the edge, but there's always a there's always a factor to what you need to do next. And a lot of people will not live, a lot of people won't do that. A lot of people will sit there and let the government feed them, let the government do this, let the government do this, because they think everybody owes them something. Personally, myself, nobody owes me anything that lives on this earth. I do what I need to do to survive, and I program the way I need to do it. I'm not going to let everybody else tell me the way things have to go. And if more people would step up and listen to this and watch what the newscast does and look behind the smiles of the presidency and Congress and everything else, don't look at their smiles. Their smiles are all lies.
Well, man, let me tell you something. Wes, you're right on. You talk about looking past the smiles, and, you know, what really has amazed me today, just the last 7 or 8 hours, I've been studying this, and I came up with this gold dust, because I know there's a lot more there. But the thing, you talk about looking behind the mask or the surface of what people are doing, and I was talking earlier about how God said that he revealed the end from the beginning. So there are things at the very beginning of time that are literally revealing things at the end of time. And one of the things that happened in the beginning of time is there was a man by the name of Nimrod. Everybody knows Nimrod. He was the empire builder. He was the man of the world. He was the guy that was building a city and a tower, which top reached into the heavens. And he was the mighty hunter of the earth. This was Nimrod the Great. And he was known for being in rebellion against God, against the Creator. And so here we had a rebellious man building an empire at the beginning of time, and his name is Nimrod. Well, you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and we find another beast empire that's being built in the last days. There's going to be an empire in the last days that is going to be built, and there's going to be someone like a Nimrod that's going to be at the top of the mountain, so to speak, controlling this empire. That's what Revelation says. And what I found interesting, it began with a woman that sent a letter, so I searched it out, and I finally came up with the truth by going to the Aramaic language. And, you know, Jesus spoke Aramaic and Hebrew. He did not speak Greek. The Bible has been translated into Greek, but he spoke Aramaic. And one of the amazing discoveries about the beast of Revelation chapter 13 is that this beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon its head the name of blasphemy. And the Aramaic word for blasphemy is none other than Barak. And so you have the name of blasphemy in Aramaic with the name Barak. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Nimrod at the beginning, Barak at the end. And then Jesus, 2,000 years ago, in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, when his disciples came back to him and said they were rejoicing because demons were subject to them in his name. And the Lord said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Now, when you put that scripture together in the Aramaic, the word there, I saw Satan like lightning, the word lightning in the Hebrew and in the Aramaic is none other than Barak. Okay? You can study this out. It's there. It is Barak, lightning. It means like a flash of lightning, and it strikes. And then when it says, and I saw him fall from heaven, it's referring to Isaiah chapter 14, where Lucifer, son of the morning, fell from the heights. He was in the heights, and so you get the heights or heaven. And so the word heaven or heights in Luke chapter 10 is none other than Bama. So you have lightning, Barak. You have the height falling from the heights is Bama. And then they put a U-M, or an O, and there you have Barak Bama or Barak Obama. So if you literally, and this has been proven, this is actual, absolute Aramaic, that Jesus said, I beheld Satan as Barak Obama. And he was referring to him as his end time adversary. Now, I'm not saying that Barak Obama is the Antichrist, but I'll tell you what, there's too much information there right now to just dismiss or disregard. Because those names are showing up and people are uncovering that information. It's kind of like Isaiah chapter 24, where in verse 6 it says, and God will send a curse because of the rebellion of his people, and the word curse is Allah. And then I thought about this beast, this Antichrist, this Revelation chapter 13 beast, and what does it do? It's the son of perdition. It's the little horn. It's the eighth, and, you know, there's a lot here that needs to be taken step by step, but what did Barack Hussein Obama do when he came into office and he went over to Saudi Arabia? He bowed before the king of Saudi Arabia. And the word for blasphemy also refers to bowing or kneeling in worship. And so we're seeing a lot of little evidences, and I say that for what reason? I think it's possible that our generation may be the generation that literally witnesses the Antichrist coming to power in a global agenda, which I happen to believe has a lot to do with the United Nations. But, gentlemen, there's just a lot going on right now. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, Neil Bortz said it very, you know, really, really well. Back in 1966 was the dumbing down of America. If you're going to conquer somebody, you don't conquer the strong, you conquer the weak. And if you can prove them to be dumb and stupid, all right, you will conquer them with great ease. That's why nobody's been able to conquer this country, is because we've been so smart. We've been, you know, with the Lord. We've been strong. We've been united. And now they're dividing us, and they're dumbing down of America with our public education system. You know, division of the people versus racism and so on and so forth. This administration has been driving that shift right between the right and the left, and trying to widen that gap so they can take over the right with great ease.
That's
right. Yeah, well, we see it. That's right, Wes. We see an open war of the U.S. government, or the government of the United States, in 1961 making war with God. There's that spirit of rebellion again, and you're taking Bibles out of school, prayer out of school. The ACLU comes to power. It's taking crosses down, Ten Commandments down. It's the complete attempt at the obliteration of the name of Yahweh God and his son Jesus Christ out of this nation. You know, it's been a very well-organized attack, and here are the results now. Here are the results. The results are in, and it's not looking good.
There's a new one. The Air Force is now taken out of the oath, so help me God, because of the atheists. They say it's against their beliefs.
Yep. Slowly but surely, they're country apart.
And it the riff is great right now, and I just suspect, Brother Don, anything in November, I believe November has the potential to be the release of everything that has been set up in October. And again, 30 days from now, we might be in a very different looking nation.
Yeah, you know, you got to go back. Let's go back to 9-1-1, before 9-1-1, all right? Mr. Rumsfeld went public, and see, we're talking about what we know here. He went public, and he stated to the American press that there's $1 trillion missing from the Pentagon. That's $1,000 billion is missing from the Pentagon. Really? So the evidence suggests, well, it indicates that this country has been massively ripped off by its military-industrial complex for a reason. And obviously that they're not afraid of reprisal. They're not afraid of being arrested. They're not afraid because they're working with impunity on an agenda. Now, what's that agenda? You're talking about all this digging underground. And obviously, that's where that probably lion's share of that money went. And this digging underground has been going on for 20, 30 years. Why would they be doing it? They're not just doing it in the United States. They're doing it in the Russian Ural Mountains, too, all over the world. Very extravagant city underground. That facility in Arkansas, NASA is the one who built that. That's very interesting. NASA, why would they do that? So you have to start weighing the evidence and putting it together, and obviously something very large is being anticipated here. Personally, being a Christian, I believe that Satan is organizing the world, crashing the world system and organizing it so that in a very short time here, he can take mankind and war against the return of Jesus Christ. But there are events that are going to probably occur, I think, before Jesus Christ is seen in the cloud. What would those events be? And I think that if you look at the history of mankind, you look at the histories of civilizations, what they've recorded about nature, and I think you start to come to a conclusion that something ominous is going to happen in a pattern type of form to the world that's probably happened before. Now, the Bible says that in the end times that there'll be signs in the heavens, and that the stars will fall, and it's referring to a certain star called Wormwood. I believe that star is referred by other names in other cultures. And I think if you start weighing the evidence along those lines and looking at the actions of governments and in our government and why they're doing what they're doing and try to figure out, well, why would they do this and just figure that there would be no repercussion, I think you start coming to more of an accurate conclusion about why they're doing what they're doing. And I think you have a number of forces at play. You have a number of agendas, and I think it does come together as a type of puzzle form. There are a lot of facts here, the indisputable facts, the things that have been established. I think you need to take that and put that up on the table, and then all of a sudden you're going to start to see a puzzle come together. I don't think it's very complicated once you do that, if you weigh the evidence of what's been occurring the last 20, 30 years, especially in this country.
You know, it sounds like with all the conversation we're having with Wes, Danny, yourself, Don, and what I'm seeing, you go back to the book of Ezekiel, and one of the very first things that God has his watchman, you know, and that's what Ezekiel was. He was a prophetic watchman, and he was the one that God was going to show things that were going to come upon his nation. And one of the very first things that God showed to Ezekiel that was going to be the sure sign of judgment was that he was going to break the staff of their bread. And it's interesting to me, we've already seen 12 years since 9/11 of a lot of judgment in America, but I don't think people have perceived it as such. The housing collapse, Mark, you know, the Katrinas, the F5 tornadoes, we've talked about all those things, but the actual breaking of the staff of bread in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 16, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, in the United States of America, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonied one with another and consume away for their iniquity. And so for the sin of America, which are many, many sins, so from abortion to homosexuality to corruption, at every level, and especially the shedding of innocent blood through abortion, 80 million and tracking. Now we have the potential $5 billion cut and 1 week of food supply being shorted every month. And this has been known throughout history, as you just mentioned, as history repeats itself, to create riots. And here we are a day away, supposedly tomorrow, there comes a budget cut in the food stamp situation. And this could be a similar thing to the breaking of the staff of bread, where people aren't just going to have the plenty that they've always had, and that begins the ride down, the fall down the mountain unto the absolute collapse. And it's been a long time coming, but it seems to be here and potentially ready to release right now. Any comments?
No, that's correct. If you remember about a month ago, they had the thing with the food stamps. The company screwed up with the food stamps, and people had a free run on the food stamps. And I think it was Walmart and a couple other stores just let them buy what they wanted to. People took advantage of it. They went out there and said, okay, we're going to buy what we want to. They got 10 shopping carts. They bought. What was the repercussion on that? Did they ever get slapped on anything? Did they ever have to pay anything back? Now it's back to where now they're going to start losing. I think it was, I think they said $36 for every $275 you make a month for food stamps, you're going to lose. So these people are going to back out, and what's going to happen is, like you said, there's going to be reproduction. They're going to start flipping out. They're going to start saying, hey, you know, I need more food. I need this. Where can I get it? There's going to be more robbery. There's going to be more break-ins. Their people are going to start freaking out because they ain't getting fed by the government that's fed them for so many years. They're not trying. They're not stepping out of their safety zone and trying to do anything for themselves. And I believe in a safety zone. A lot of people look at it and say, this is my safety zone. This is where I like. This is my comfort. This is where I like to be. And they don't want to step out and do their own little thing. When they do, it's not for the right thing. It's for automatically evil or everything else they want to do in life. They do something wrong to make their own life think it's right. And I believe you highly on that. That's what's going to happen. These people are going to come down, and it's going to break loose.
And it's probably going to break loose with a racial of violence as well. And I don't know exactly why. I just have a sense in my heart that this is going to be related because they're showing the majority of the people on food stamps as being Afro-Americans. And, you know, not all. I mean, obviously there's a little, you know, things going on here. But somehow they're going to spin this into a racial violence. Don, you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago about the race card. Do you still see that as a viable possibility through the breaking of the staff of bread?
Yeah, that food stamp thing is a little deeper than what they're saying. In 96, they made a law stating that you had to work 20 hours a week in order to receive stamps at all. And then Mr. Obama decided to waive all that. And apparently the waiver for that is going to expire, coincidentally, on November 1st. So this could get a lot worse as this goes along when 50 million people start finding out that, hey, you're not going to get anything free. You're going to have to work at least 20 hours a week in order to receive stamps that you know, you're not going to get as much as you did get. So I imagine you'll see all kind of controls. And yeah, this could lead to some very serious rioting. It's already been threatened. I think especially in California, I guess there's a lot of threats coming out of there. And you know what? There's a lot of people that they don't believe in working, and there are generations of them because they didn't have to. Somebody was always willing, when a push comes to shove, to give them something for free, and now that's coming to an end. And if those people think they can go out and force the issue by burning and robbing, and they're going to do, because that element definitely exists in our society, and to some point it's even glorified.
Well, it's driving that wedge right in it.
Yeah, there, go back to the wedge again, Dan. That's right. So it's coming, the division, you divide and conquer, and it appears that this is the moment. You know, someone else mentioned, and I don't know if you gentlemen are aware of this or not, or have heard this, and it's something I heard, I believe, from Lindsay Williams again, that the entire Obamacare, the entire health bill, was not even written by Barack Hussein Obama. He probably has never read it in its entirety ever before, that it was literally written by the upper echelon of world powers, and that really it has nothing to do at all with health care, that there are some health care things in there, but it, when you turn it around, it looks like something altogether different that is written for some sort of an agenda. Have any of you gentlemen heard of that at all?
Yes.
What'd you hear?
I've heard of that. Well, you know, it goes back to that issue, you know, that, you know, 40% of the people that currently have health care right now through, you know, their own pay, and they say it's upwards of 67%, will not be able to carry their own, their old policy. They will have to go to this new policy because it doesn't conform to Obamacare. But who are those 67%? They're the right-wing people. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to drive another wedge in there, all right, to say, hey, look, you did it yourselves, all right? This is, you know, you guys need to conform, and we're, you know, we're not going to conform.
Yeah, it's interesting when you refer to the right wing, you know, that's the political point of view, and yet they're attaching all different types of people and organizations to the right wing, everything from evangelical Christians, Tea Party. You know, another thing that happened in October, again, you know, the truckers were in D.C., the veterans were in D.C., tearing down, you know, barriers and throwing them on the front lawn of the White House. October has been a very interesting month of potential uprisings and pretty heavy things. Again, I think we're need to keep our eyes wide open here and our hearts and minds very alert to what's going on. And, gentlemen, unless you have anything else to share, we're coming to the top of the hour. I'm going to begin a series in the book of Ezekiel. But final words, anybody?
Well, why are there 400,000 UN troops in Pennsylvania to quell uprisings? What uprisings?
Don, why are there 400,000 troops? Why are they there?
389,000 UN troops have been trained. Their training finished November 1st.
October
1st, right? Yeah, October 1st. October 1st. And their training was compromised of English, and they're being trained on American weapons, too, which I find is very interesting. I believe in the news, two UN troops just got arrested. Two foreign troops on a U.S. military base got arrested for trying to abduct and sexually molest a... I think it was a 13, 14-year-old girl off of her front steps. You'll find that in the news, and it's an actual event. That's not come a rumor. I think it was in Kansas, but I'm not sure. But the point is those troops were trained, Russian, Chinese, and I don't know, I think maybe German, and they were all pushed into Region 3, and they're supposed to finish their training in Region 3 in the New York area beginning November 1st. So you got to, everything's being poured into that Region 3 New York quadrant going down to North Carolina, and there definitely has to be a reason for it. I think they're expecting something very ominous to occur right there. Whether it's food riots or a blackout or... Maybe a tsunami, I don't know. But if something very ominous is going to occur there, and they know about it, and that's why they're preparing these troops. And evidently it's something that they don't trust the U.S. military to handle, which I find it very interesting. And to me that could only mean they plan on doing gun confiscation, and the U.S. military is not going to be loyal to that. Not going to happen.
Very good. Anybody, final comments before we go? And by the way, I don't think that we're comfortably paranoid about any of this. I believe this could all be substantiated, correct? All this information, the 389,000 troops, the Chase Bank, you know, cabal, debacle, and all these other things, they're actually happening. This is not an act of paranoia. These things are really happening, and I wonder what the majority of Americans would think. What they thought 389,000 UN peacekeeping troops are training. I mean, isn't that kind of surreal?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is Obama once again at the beginning of October, made an official request to Putin that he supply 15,000 combat, Russian combat troops for any events that might occur in the United States. But see, there's his lead-in. See, that's his little thing that, oh, yeah, yeah, we brought in foreign troops. Look, there's my request, 15,000. Well, there's not 15,000 Russian troops. There's a lot more than that. But he's trying to put up some type of plausible deniability, which he's great at doing. And, well, there you have it.
Yeah.
And see, that's not rumor or conspiracy theory. That's all fact. Unfortunately, if you want any news now, you're not going to get it from the government-controlled media. You're going to get it from overseas. You're going to get it from Europe reporting on the United States or England or Germany or even Russia. You're not going to get anything that would go against Washington, D.C., printed in the mainline newspapers here or in the CNN, that type of coverage. It's not going to happen because these people that are in control in Washington own the media here. And if that media reports anything it's told not to report, they'll lose their job over life. And you know what? Maybe even their lives. And that's just the way that it is.
My God. And then when this executive orders come through martial law, then they take over the entire thing. It's not looking like a pretty sight. Gentlemen, I've got to get moving on. I want to thank each one of you for joining me on the air tonight. And make sure you do it again. We appreciate it. I'm going to go to a quick little break, about 4 minutes. We'll come back and start our series in the Book of Ezekiel. Wes, Dan, Don, God bless you, and thanks for joining me on the air tonight, gentlemen.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, thank you, guys, and we're going to be right back. This is Pastor Vince with Blog Talk Radio here at New Wine Ministries, and I will be back in just a minute, and we're going to begin a series in the Book of Ezekiel. But first, a little break. We'll be right back.
Resting in the light. All right. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for continuing on here tonight. And I think we get in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, or we begin a series in the book of Ezekiel in the prophetic watchmen. And as I did in the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Lamentations, which was also written by Jeremiah, we went through that those books and that study to see if the message that was spoken by Jeremiah to Israel was relevant to the United States of America today. And why the United States? And again, I want to reiterate, not that everybody agrees with me, but I certainly believe this and have not yet been convinced otherwise, that back in the 1600s, this land was dedicated to Yahweh God through his son Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, and that America was a covenant nation. I believe that this land was covenanted to God, and then the first communities that were built in this nation were built by Christian men and women known as the Separatists, the Puritans, the Pilgrims. Put whatever title you want on them, but they were the first ones to build communities and schools, and they were harvesting their land, they were building their homes, their communities, and it was all founded upon and based upon the New Testament, the New Covenant. And that's why as this nation grew and it expanded and different communities came along, that there was a growing Christian influence in the United States of America. Even by the time the Founding Fathers, though many of them being Masonic and deists, there were still those Christian men of God that held to Christian values, and even some of your Masons that held to Christian values as well. That's not to say that there was not an evil agenda. There was. I'm convinced there was. By the time 1776 came around, there was an evil agenda in motion, and the enemy had a new desire for this land, but it did not change the fact that the land was originally covenanted to God, with God, through Jesus Christ. And that's why we did not see, growing up in the United States, mosques, and we didn't have Korans in our schools, we didn't have Buddhist temples or Hindu places of worship, we didn't have atheist shrines. What we had were churches and the Bible and Christian men and women of integrity with morality. And it wasn't until later on, until Gone with the Wind, that the first time Americans heard the word damn publicly on television, that sent shockwaves throughout the nation. This nation was a very different place to live. And growing up within this nation, again, you were not finding mosques and other places of worship. It was a predominantly Christian nation. Now, having been in covenant in the 1600s, I personally believe that God, because the word says he is, he's a covenant-keeping God, and he made covenant with Israel. And when Israel broke that covenant, that's when the judgments would begin to fall upon that nation more than the surrounding nations. And God would actually utilize the surrounding nations, whether it be Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, he would use foreign nations to bring discipline to his nation, Israel, to his people. So America is a covenant nation like Israel. In fact, it's the only other nation on the face of the earth that is known to have made covenant with God through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood, where the Christian influence was strongest. And so we have a new covenant called, you know, the New Testament, and we have a new covenant people coming to this land and covenanting this land to God through Jesus Christ and building the society upon the Word of God, and we saw that. And then, of course, the open, blatant war against God in our nation when they said, we don't want Bibles in our schools anymore, we don't want any prayer in our schools anymore. And now came the invasion of abortions in 1973 to the tune of 80 million, worldwide 500 million. We see homosexualization of a nation. 14 states are now homosexualized in the sense that they are opening the doors to same-sex marriage, which means it's going to trickle down into the five-year-old children in the public schools, where they're strapping nuclear bombs, if you will, on these little children, like Muslims do when they send them in to detonate bombs in different places, because the homosexual agenda upon the mind of a little child is explosive, period. But that was not happening until the war was made to remove God, to obliterate God from the nation. Now, I believe personally that for years, since 1960s and even earlier, God was wooing this nation, this covenant nation, America. And God was, because of the covenant, was being patient and merciful, and he was sending the prophets like Dimitri Dudeman, David Wilkerson, and other men and women of God to bring a message of warning and repentance to the United States of America. And because of the covenant, God will always do that. That's why he sent Jeremiah, Isaiah, and go on through the list of all the prophets that he sent to Israel as a covenant nation to warn them, to turn them back to him, lest judgment would come. Well, God has sent men and women a voice into this nation. And that voice, in my understanding, the preachers have basically reiterated the message of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe on January 21st, 2013, that was less than a year ago, I believe as Barack Hussein Obama was being sworn in as the president of the United States and the eyes of the world were watching him, I believe in another dimension, in heaven itself, around the throne of God, the judicial throne of God, the divorce was finalized. That God, even as he had divorced Israel, he divorced the United States. The covenant, in other words, had been broken because Israel broke the covenant, not God. And God would woo Israel back to himself, but she would not. God has been wooing America back, who has broken covenant with God and has allowed the evil to permeate our society. And so I believe that the covenant is broken, which means the hedge is down. I believe from January the hedge has been down in this country, and I believe that's one of the reasons why so many things are happening in our nation. Now, having said that, I believe that God does not need to take any particular man or woman on this earth and make a name out of them. I believe that God needs vessels that are meet for the Master's use, where he could pour his message into them and through them. And I believe that God has sent a prophetic watchman to the shores of America to speak to our nation. And I believe that his message has been spoken throughout the last 40 to 50 years in this nation. And I believe God wants the message spoken again, and he is raising up his prophetic watchman to speak to the nation. And who is that? His name is Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the prophetic watchman. We don't need some guy named Joe to stand up and say, I'm a prophetic watchman of God. All we need is Ezekiel, the prophetic watchman that God raised up thousands of years ago, whose message speaks to every generation, and I'm sure and I'm confident that he's speaking to our generation again tonight. Just like Jeremiah, God sent a prophet to America, and that prophet's name was Jeremiah. And when we studied the book of Jeremiah, we saw his message, which was originally intended for Israel, that it speaks loudly to this covenant nation, and I believe that Ezekiel is the same. And so with those thoughts in mind, I'd like to proceed now into Chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and there's an amazing thing that happens in chapter 1, and I'll share it with you in a moment because it connects with the book of Revelation so beautifully. Let's begin Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof is the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Circle that in your Bible in verse 5, four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. They sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Remember that. The four faces of the four living creatures was the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and I believe the face of a man. Remember that as we get into the book of Revelation for a short moment. Verse 11, thus were their faces and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. They went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. Remember lamps. You might want to circle that concerning the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of heaven in the book of Revelation. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went, thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. You know, the description is absolutely amazing thus far. I get the sense of a mobile tabernacle of God. I believe this is obviously the throne of God, the presence of God, as we'll see, surrounded with the living creatures of Revelation chapters 4 and 5. We're going to see that in just a moment. And I believe that the tabernacle of God, the throne of God, is a very mobile throne. Verse 21, when those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now, the question we have to begin to ask ourselves as I'm reading the description of what Ezekiel saw when the heavens were opened is, why is God revealing this imagery to him? What is the point of God showing Ezekiel through an open heaven this amazing vision of this glorious throne with the Spirit and the living creatures and the wheels and the colors? And what is this all about? Why is he doing it? Well, we're going to learn in just a moment. Verse 22, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on his side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. All right. In Ezekiel, it begins, this incredibly prophetic book, it begins with an open heaven and the visions of God given to Ezekiel. Now, hold our fingers there, and let's go over to the book of Revelation, and let's see if we could find some of the imagery that Ezekiel saw that maybe John saw. And I begin in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 12. And Revelation 1:12 says, "And I turned to see the voice." Remember, we were just hearing about voices. "I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Now listen to some of this. "And his feet like unto fine brass," we just saw that over in Ezekiel 1, "as if they burned in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters." We just read that in Ezekiel chapter 1. "He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shines in his strength, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." That's kind of what Ezekiel did. "And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me." So he speaks to him, and there are some incredible things that are spoken that we're not going to get into right now. But I want to go to Revelation chapter 4 now. So we see a revelation, an unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. And then we read in Revelation chapter 4, "After this, in verse 1, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." All right, so now there's an open door in heaven, just like we read about an open heaven in Ezekiel. "And the first voice which I heard was, it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." And so the call of heaven was to the Apostle John, a call to enter into the spiritual dynamic. And immediately, verse 2 says, "I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven." That's what Ezekiel saw. He saw the throne. And he said, "One sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow." We read about a rainbow in Ezekiel chapter 1. "About the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were four and twenty seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices." We saw a lot of that in Ezekiel 1. "And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." We saw the lamps in Ezekiel chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse 6. "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal." We saw crystal in Ezekiel chapter 1. "And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts," four living creatures, "full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion." We saw that in Ezekiel. "The second beast like a calf or an ox." We saw that in Ezekiel. "The third beast had a face of a man." We saw that in Ezekiel 1. "And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." So, in other words, everything that Ezekiel saw when the heavens were opened to him and the visions of God came to him is exactly what John saw, maybe in greater detail. John would see things in greater detail, because it wasn't just a vision. John was literally taken into the spirit realm, and there's always a clearer view when you're there and just envisioning something. So we see the four creatures, and then it identifies them in verse 8. "The four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now, before going any further, the big question, the thing that I really wanted to get out tonight, was why do the prophets, before they prophesy, have these incredible visions? I mean, even Jeremiah, God was saying to him, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" Isaiah had a vision of the glory of the king of Israel, and he was high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter 6. He goes in, and then God commissions him to go and prophesy. Ezekiel sees the visions of God, and then God commissions him to go and prophesy. John is getting an amazing revelation, the end time revelation. And after having a tour of heaven itself in the glory of God, then he's commissioned to go and prophesy. And five times the book of Revelation is called a prophecy. And so no doubt the book of Revelation is a prophetic end time message. And we'll talk more about that. But I believe the reason why Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, John, even Paul the Apostle went into paradise, the third heaven, the reason why they see the glory of God is because when they begin to prophesy on things that are on the earth, like Daniel said, the heavens always rule over the earth. And as horrible and as nasty and as brutal and as intense and as violent as things will get in the prophetic utterances that come upon this earth, there is a knowing that the heavens are secure. The heavens are powerful. God is in control, and when the prophets see the glory of God, they are empowered by his glory. They are made confident by the glory that they see, because the message they're going to speak is not their own. It comes from the one who sits upon the throne. And I believe that God encourages the prophets in this unveiling of the absolute glory of God to give them the balance necessary for their encounter with the things of this earth. Now, having said that, that's my very simple belief. There may be a lot more to it. Let's look at the commissioning now of Ezekiel the prophet as God commissions him after his glorious partaking of divine things. In chapter 2 of verse 1, he said unto me, now this is when in the last verse, 28 of Ezekiel chapter 1, when he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, he said when he saw it, he fell upon his face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke, and he said unto me, chapter 2, verse 1, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto you. It's exactly what was said to John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Verse 2, and the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of America. Now remember, I'm going to apply the message to the United States of America as a covenant nation, just as Ezekiel was sent to Israel as a covenant nation. And so I want to put that in context. And verse 3 again, he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of America, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. So in Ezekiel's day, it was sent to Israel, the rebellious nation that rebelled against God. Today, I believe Ezekiel is speaking, and God is saying, I'm sending you, Ezekiel, with this message to America, and they are a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. And it says, they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. And you don't have to look very far to say yes and amen. Verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send you unto them, and you shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And I believe tonight that God is commissioning his prophet, watchman, Ezekiel, to America. And he's telling the prophet, watchman, Ezekiel, that America is a rebellious nation. It is impudent. It is hard-hearted. And I'm going to bring you to that nation. You're going to speak my words to that nation. And whether they hear or not, don't you be concerned with that. I am not going to leave myself without a witness. I'm going to have my words to be spoken, and they are a rebellious house. Now, earlier in the broadcast tonight, as we were getting started, I was talking to you about Nimrod, and it's interesting to me that God reveals the end from the beginning. And in the beginning of empire builders, we saw Nimrod in the Tower of Babel when he was building a tower and a city, making a name for themselves, and he was known as one who was rebellious against God. He was literally leading the rebellion against God. Well, you would think since particularly 9/11/2001 that America would long ago have repented and turned to the God of our fathers and asked for forgiveness for, at that time, the 50 to 60 million abortions, the homosexual agenda being activated, the corruption that moves within our nation, et cetera, et cetera. But we didn't. And since that time, we have become more rebellious. And then Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger, showing the Freedom Tower as a symbol of our rebellion, it gets very intense here. So there's no doubt in my mind that in these last days, God is showing that America, his covenant nation, is a rebellious nation. And you know rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you know tonight, Halloween night, there's a lot of witchcraft going on in America. And it's very intense and very deep and very spiritual. And we need to be dressed up in the armor of God. There's no doubt about it for the things that roam around this country all the time. Not just tonight, but all the time. So we have a rebellious nation. America is rebellious. So what does that mean? It confirms that Ezekiel coming to this nation with the message he's going to bring is true because it's another nation in rebellion against God. And isn't it interesting, as Nimrod at the beginning was a rebellious world leader, that at the end of time, the name of the beast with the seven heads and ten horns of Revelation 13 and the names of blasphemy on his head, that the word blasphemy in the ancient Aramaic is Barak. Interesting. So do we have another son of rebellion leading this nation into greater rebellion, who's passing legislative laws of homosexuality, abortion, and all the other things that this man has done? It's against God. This administration is against God, and the nation is swallowing up the rebellion, and the nation is getting darker and darker because of it, and those of the light who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments of God need to be aware of what is happening, not only in this nation, but around the world, because I do believe that Barack Hussein Obama is not an American president. I believe he has the characteristics of a global New World Order agenda. I believe he is a globalist. I believe he wants to be the leader of the world. And if it's not him, it'll be somebody else. But he's fitting really good right now. But nonetheless, he, through in his administration, have led a great rebellion against God. It's been here all along. I don't blame him for everything. It's been here all along. But it's a greater rebellion now than it ever has been. One of the things I was thinking, just as a little side note here before going on, is you remember just a month and a half ago, Barack Hussein Obama was on his way. He was on the road to Damascus to make war in Syria. Well, there was another gentleman by the name of the Apostle Paul who was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. And Jesus Christ shined out of the heavens and got hold of Paul's heart. So either that war with Syria didn't happen because Barack was on the road to Damascus and Christ shined to him and he's going to be born again and become a great spiritual leader for the elect of God, or no, you know, whatever. Okay, so here we go. Back to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're seeing that God is commissioning his prophet to a rebellious nation. Now, verse 6, he says, "And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, and you do dwell among scorpions." All right, so the commissioning of this prophet Ezekiel, God is foretelling him, forewarning him, that there are briars and thorns and scorpions, and this is not going to be a pleasant moment, but don't be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, we have to make sure we understand something here. We're not excluding the church citizenry from this prophetic word. In fact, I believe that the church in America is the recipient of this message first, before our political leaders, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that the church is going to get the forefront because judgment begins in the house of Yahweh. It begins in the house of God. And as I speak towards America as a covenant nation. It is the Christian church in the nation at this moment that has apostatized, compromised, backslidden, has become lukewarm, Laodicean in their attitude and character, that this message is really intended for, but it speaks to the whole nation. Verse 7, here's what God says as he's commissioning the prophet, watchman, Ezekiel. He says, "And you shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say unto you, and be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." What's God saying here? God is saying, Ezekiel, I'm sending you to this nation. It's a rebellious nation. It's probably not going to hear a word that you have to say because it doesn't hear me. But don't you be rebellious. You do what I tell you to do. This is exactly how God commissioned his prophet Jeremiah. It's an exact way of commissioning. Do what I say, he said to Jeremiah, or I'll embarrass you in front of everybody. So regardless of what they say, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they do, you just speak what I tell you to speak. Verse 9, "And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein." Here's the book. "There was written therein and without lamentation and mourning and woe." Now let me ask you a question. In chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, we just saw, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5, we just saw Ezekiel being commissioned to go speak a message to the house of Israel. And we just saw a book being handed to him. And the book was lamentation, mourning, and woe. It's the prophetic message. So let me ask you a question. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." What do you think is in that book of Revelation chapter 5? Well, obviously, in context, it is the prophecy. Remember, five times in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 7, I believe it is. I'll give you the exact verses here because I think it's important enough to do that. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 says this, because it's important we understand what we're into here. "Behold, I come quickly." This is Revelation 22, 7. "Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then it says in verse 10, of Revelation 22, "And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then we go on to verse 17, I think it is. Is it 17 or is it 18? Let's go to verse 18. It says, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man adds to it, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book." Verse 19, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." Four times, Revelation 22, verse 7, Revelation 22, verse 10, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein." So, five times the book of Revelation is called a prophecy. Ezekiel was going to prophesy to the nation of Israel, the rebellious house. Jeremiah was going to prophesy to the nation of Israel, the rebellious house. John, the revelator, is going to prophesy. And watch how it says about John prophesying. We just read that there's a book in the right hand of him who sits on the throne. We just saw Ezekiel take a book with lamentation, mourning, and woe. And then we go down in chapter 5, and we see as you read through the whole thing that Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to open the seals of the book. And the book in the hand of him who sits on the throne is the prophecy. Five times it's called a prophecy. What is in the book? It is the prophecy. What is in the book of Ezekiel? When he takes it, it's the prophecy. And then what does it say in Revelation chapter 10? At the latter part of Revelation chapter 10, God says this. Let me make sure I have the right verse here. Here we go. Chapter 10, it says in verse 8, Revelation 10:8, this is the voice which I heard from heaven. John is saying this now. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, knead it up, and it shall make your belly bitter, but it shall be thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, the actual prophecy in the book of Revelation begins with the releasing of the first seal. Remember, the book is in the hand of him in chapter 5, seven seals. They're weeping because nobody could open it, but Jesus has the right. He's the heir. He now opens the first seal in Revelation chapter 6, and the prophecy begins. We believe that that prophecy is the end-time prophecy. That's why we want to discover the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale-colored horse, the souls under the altar, and then the sixth seal, which is intense, and then moves on into the seven trumpets, and then it moves on into so many different things. It's an awesome thing. But let's get back to Ezekiel, and I think we're seeing a pattern here. We see the commissioning. We see him taking a book. We see what's in the book is lamentation, mourning, and woe, and then in chapter 3, it begins, and I'm not so sure I want to stay in chapter 3 right now. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to chapter 3, and let's see. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this roll, and go speak unto the nation of America. That's what God would say to Ezekiel to do tonight. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause your belly to eat. Fill your bowels with this roll that I give you. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And that's what John just said in Revelation. Verse 4, he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel. Speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel or America. These people understand the language. They're not strangers. Go and speak to them. Verse 6, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, the foreign nations, they would have hearkened unto you. But the house of America will not hearken unto you. For they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of America are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. So listen, any of you vessels of God out there that are meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work in this hour, that God is putting his message into your heart to speak it, he's going to make your forehead stronger than their foreheads. He's going to make you more powerful than them. So, because when you start speaking these words over your nation here in America, there's going to be resistance because of the rebellion in this nation. It's going to come from the scorpions. Remember, Jesus called the scorpions the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. Let's get to verse 8 again. I want to read it one more time. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now I want you to think about that for a second. God is sending a man to a nation And he's making that man a fortress, like he did Jeremiah. Same way. He said, Jeremiah, I'll take care of you, and I'm going to do amazing things through you. God is sending this man to a rebellious house. He's ready to meet up with rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. It's going to hit him. It's going to come against him. But God says, I fashion you to be stronger than them. And my words in your mouth are strong words, and they will prevail, and they will not return empty. So, Ezekiel, you don't go and speak your message. You go and speak my message, and you speak it with the anointing and the spirit that I put on the inside of you. Verse 10, he said, moreover, unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. So tonight, when you and I become vessels, meet for the master's use, and we're going to be sent to speak God's words, he's telling us to receive the words. And so when we read the book of Ezekiel, the message that God gave to Ezekiel, he's just putting that same message into our heart and telling us to speak the very same thing that Ezekiel spoke. So it's not about us speaking it, our names. It's the real prophetic watchman, Ezekiel, who is the first to receive the message, but that message is given to those that God raises up in every generation to speak the message that he originally gave, because it's the same message, especially when he's dealing with covenant nations. Now, verse 11, he says, and go, get you to them of the captivity, unto the children of your people. Speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. And whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, he said, you do it anyways. You speak unto them. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. So we see now the commissioning, and now we see the glory and the blessing. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of America, Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning for me. Now, before I go any further and wrap this up tonight, I want you to notice that God made Ezekiel his watchman. Normally, in cities, the people would take themselves a watchman, and they would choose out a man, and they would put him on the wall, and he would watch, he would look out, and anything that he saw, he would report back to the people in the city. And as I said the other night, you can imagine a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem, Israel, thousands of years ago, and all the people within Jerusalem are obeying God. They're doing what is right before God. They're conducting themselves in holiness and righteousness, and the watchman on the wall doesn't see anything but blessings coming. He sees people coming, bringing gifts to the king of Israel. He doesn't have much to report in the negative sense, but all of a sudden the people in the city begin to pervert things a little bit. They begin to fornicate, commit adultery. They begin to worship idols. And suddenly the watchman's looking out and he's seeing some pretty horrible things, and he's now blowing a trumpet to the people in the city. And for a moment the people wake up out of their delusion. They set themselves right. They call out to God. They prepare themselves for whatever is coming. And then it passes and there's not too much damage done. But rather than the people staying turned to the Lord, they go back to their sin, and it gets worse, and it keeps getting worse and worse. Now the watchman is seeing the most horrific things coming against the city, and now he's blowing the trumpet, and the people are so hardened in their sin, they can't even hear it. They don't want to hear what the watchman has to say. And he's warning them about an invading army. He's warning them about a dark storm. And it's not just clouds. It's a massive army that's ready to come and invade the land. But the people are drunk in their sin and their debauchery, and they can't believe it. They don't want to hear it. They're saying, put a different watchman on the wall. Tell us what we want to hear. We don't want to hear this negativity. That's the way it was. Well, God says now to Ezekiel, I'm going to set you on the wall. And I'm going to tell you to speak to this nation. And whether they hear it or not is not the issue. You just do it. And then he says in verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Listen, all the watchmen, the true watchmen that God is setting up in this nation, not in their own names, but the prophetic watchmen that God is raising up are just vessels, meet for the master's use, where God is putting the message into their hearts. If they are not warning, if the pastors are not warning the flock of God, if the prophets are not warning, if the apostles are not warning, if the evangelists, if the teachers, if the people are not warning this nation, he says the blood will be required at your hand. Verse 19, yet if you warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So now comes the responsibility of the watchman. You better speak up. You must speak up. You must declare what I tell you to speak to the wickedness that's going on in your nation. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. America was righteous, and it's turned from its righteousness. A stumbling block has been laid before the nation. It's going to die. The nation is dying. And because you have not given it warning or him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at your hand. Now think of that in a national setting. You're not warning the nation, watchmen, and they're dying. Well, their blood is going to be upon your hand. That's the responsibility of this calling. Verse 21, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, you have delivered your soul. Man, you wish to God it would be that easy, that the watchman would simply warn the wicked and warn the righteous so that the righteous does not sin, and then there would be peace. Finishing this up, verse 22, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will talk with you there. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spoke with me and said to me, go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon you and shall bind you with them, and you shall not go out among them. And I will make your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth, and you shall be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, he that forbears, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. There we have the beginning of a series in the book of Ezekiel. The prophetic message is about to flow. And I tell you now in advance, the message that Ezekiel spoke to Israel thousands of years ago is a message that he is speaking today to the United States of America and the church within this nation. It is a very intense prophetic word, like the message Jeremiah gave to the nation of Israel. So Ezekiel's message, which is the message of the Lord, is very hot, it is very intense, and it's going to boil. And here's what I believe. Here's why I read it. Because I believe God is telling America, these are the things that are going to happen in your very near future. Tomorrow, the very first beginnings. Tomorrow night we'll be back on the air, Lord willing. We'll get into chapter 4, 5, and 6. And tomorrow, when they stop the food stamps, you'll be amazed how it fits with chapter 4. It is an amazing, detailed, prophetic book, but it aligns itself perfectly with the book of Revelation. We'll take a look at both of them again. It's been a pleasure being with everyone tonight. And as I said, Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll be on the air. I hope tonight was a blessing to you. It was a great beginning. Stay alert, saints. Keep on the watch. The potential for a very rough November is before us. We have made it through the month of October. We have seen so many things build up. 4 years ago, I heard in my spirit things would begin in October, but the release would come in November. I'm just wondering if it's not this November that we'll see a release of what Brother Don Huddle said would happen in October. The buildup is there. Keep on the alert. Be watchful. Don't go to sleep now. Do not go to sleep now. Watch more than ever before. You be the watchman in your own tower. Until tomorrow night, God bless. This is Pastor Vince. Over and out.